button.
Oh,
got all right. it.
She's so professional.
Unlike the rest of the Horror in Heels team. So we'll see what happens. So welcome back to Horror in Heels. I'm Alicia.
I'm Jen.
And today we are joined by Alok, who is the producer of 1BR. And we are also joined by Naomi Grossman, who is one of the actresses. I don't know how much to say because I don't want like any spoilers.
Well, we got to assume that they watched it.
And you guys are fine with that, assuming that people are listening have seen it on non-Shutter platforms. Okay.
Look, as long as maybe put something in the description that says there's
going to be spoilers. Oh, we always do.
Our listeners know that we're going to talk about the movie, so if they haven't seen it, they don't listen to it yet. So Naomi plays Janice,
who is the cult leader's wife.
Yes.
Second in command, cult leader-wise, if you will. And your hair has grown out since filming. It looks very lovely. I did like the short hair. I liked it a lot.
We shot over time. Like we ended up coming back, I want to say maybe 9 months after initial filming to do some reshoots. Okay. And you don't see it, but I want to say I have an entirely different hair color and everything.
Wow.
Now I'm going to rewatch and look
for that. I'm going to really scope that out. So how long was the initial run of filming?
Hello?
Well, I can answer that. So we shot for 15 days. Mm. So it was a very quick turnaround. We shot over December of 2017. It's not a lot of time. Our writer-director, Dave Marmer, was a first-time writer-director. I think about any piece of advice to give anybody who's making a horror movie is give them more time, because it will end up costing you more money when you had to do reshoots. Yeah. And we did.
Yeah.
So it sucked, but what we did get out of the reshoots was really great stuff. We shot in 2017 December, then we came back in 2018 August, and the reason we had to do that was because our actors are all working actors, and we couldn't get the band back together, so to speak. Like, our cinematographer was shooting, you know, Kendrick Lamar videos, and like, he's not gonna come back to our little piece of shit, like, just to, like, you know,
just to do that.
In fact, we didn't actually get him. He said he was coming back, and he got booked on something else. So we're like, he lost him, but we have somebody who's equally great too as well. So it worked out. And look, I mean, the only thing that sucked about any of the reshoots, like the reshoots we did, we actually got the ending that you see now, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm. We actually shot two alternative endings, actually. Ooh. No one has ever seen the other ending. So that's a nice little tidbit for you guys. Blu-ray or
I was gonna say like it should be on a Blu-ray or something.
I mean, you know, I love physical media, but you know, for greedy money-grubbing producers, you don't make a lot of money off of that in comparison. That, unless it has a lot of
extras. Save them for the sequel.
We could have a very hold on. Well,
or if we give Horror in Heels exclusive for our YouTube.
I wish I could. It's in some vault someplace. I don't know what's going to happen, anyways, I was going to say the only thing that we got some really good. The ending was much better that we went with finally. And the only thing that sucked about the reshoots was that Naomi Grossman was nominated for an Emmy at the time. And we had to do it the week of the Emmys. Like, this is the shittiest part of it. It's like, you know, what, the Emmy should be in these gifting suites, you know, getting trips to Barbados. But yet she is with us. So shooting
you
our
did it? Wow.
So, you are a trooper, Naomi, because I'd be in those gifting suites. Like,
thank you.
I worked hard for those Emmys. I was in that makeup chair for a long time for those Emmys. Because that was that the time for the Pepper Emmy? Right?
Actually, no, it was something else. But listen, I have enough foresight that I knew that this little engine that could was gonna. So I love it.
That's awesome.
Plus Naomi and I've been friends for like 20 years.
So you played on the friendship, Alok?
We played on her ego, because we basically said, you know, we squandered you. We should have there needs to be more Janice. There's something that needs to be more cowbell.
We need more Janice.
I did say that to Jen. I was like, Naomi wasn't in as much of this as when you see Naomi's name on the IMDb, you assume that she is going to be second after the main lady, just because of name recognition, et cetera, who you are in this community, et cetera. And I was like, but I have to tell you guys, that opening sequence, I was already scared. I'm a New Yorker. We don't do friendliness like this. It was over the top. I'm like, what is happening? And I was like, I'm here. This crazy people. It had a very Rosemary's Babies feel to it, where you know something's off. You just don't know what yet. And I personally love that in a movie.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do. They like to feel uneased without being able to pinpoint why they're uneased. And you did that very well.
Specifically horror fans. Generally, normal people don't like it, but horror fans, well, we thrive on that. So
I was going to say, I just always assume I'm talking to horror fans and people are like, Alicia, I haven't seen a horror movie in 30 years. And I'm like, I don't, my son has seen more horror than you have. Is that what you're telling me? My three-year-old has seen more? Okay.
Well, so, you know, essentially, there's a lot of comparisons that they do make with Polanski's films, especially like, I mean, the apartment trilogy or whatever it is. The Tenant, I think, is a movie that people bring up. And so there definitely is that kind of feel to the whole thing. I mean, it's really a thing. Like, David wrote this story about sort of his experience coming to LA and being new in the city. And it's like this vast city, the sea of humanity, but he felt very alone. And so I think that, I mean, a lot of it, anyone who's moved to Los Angeles has probably felt that at some point and probably lived in one of those apartments, frankly, like that kind of stucco, whatever.
Old 60s apartment building.
Or 70s. Yeah. I mean, it's all pretty very standard. And I think that's why people can sort of like identify with it, who've ever had that experience and stuff. And, you know, it's also a thing where, you know, the subject matter that he deals with was something that kind of fascinated him, like the idea of like people coming to this new city and they all have these aspirations, and then they figure out and they get there that there's 20,000 other people who have the same aspirations, and you know, the time they pass you by and all of a sudden there's a younger version, a better version of yourself, and you're still stuck in that apartment. And like, so, and that's why I think it's such a, it lends itself to being a very fertile breeding ground for cults. Like, you know,
someone looking for a home, someone looking for a place to feel at home.
There's all these, like, you know, artists who are just, you know, want to get famous or want to, you know, find themselves. It's it is. LA is like, what am I trying to say? It's like textbook breeding ground, like you're saying. For this.
Being from LA was interesting because I'm like, I didn't realize people. I can see how people can feel that way, but I'm always like lonely, like how, but I guess that would be for moving to a lot of places, but here specifically, it's like, it's because it's so huge and it is hard to find that community that this really speaks to, that for the people who actually do, because you come from such a small place to come to a big place, you're like, I need a place to call home. I need a safe space. I need people who have my back.
So. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to find your tribe. A lot of times, and then when you find your tribe, you know, you want to watch out.
They turn out to be a tribe.
I mean,
have either of you ever had experiences with cults trying to approach you?
I mean, every time you walk down Hollywood Boulevard, you get your friends at Scientology wanting to say hi to you. Like, I mean, Naomi drives her bike past them, so we try not to say too much about them because we don't want her to get snatched.
At any moment. Actually, I mean, I joke, I am in a yoga cult. Like, I will not miss, like, you know, we schedule these podcasts around my, you know, schedule. And, you know, it's not to say that the guru would, you know, punish me if I missed, but like, I won't miss, you know, so it's cult-ish for sure.
Well, I mean, during COVID, you were really in a yoga cult because like they would go to this lady's house. And this lady turned out to be like this weirdo. She was like this like cult-like leader. And if you did miss, then you were bad favor. Or
when COVID started to subside and things started to reopen, and you know, I mean, we'd been literally like traveling 45 minutes to get to this lady's house to do yoga.
Oh my goodness.
So it was a commitment. And so that's why the fact that if we were able to like walk to our corner studio, that was obviously much more attractive. So the minute we opted for the corner studio as opposed to the 45 minute drive, that's when she turned on us. And it really was. It was,
oh no.
That needs to be a movie. That's part two.
Write
that right now.
But there's a lot of,
I give you credit though, Naomi. I don't like any exercise enough to even walk to my own living room to do it. I am for sure not driving 45 minutes. Yeah, God bless.
I'd be like, well, that was my exercise time, the 45 minutes. Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say, you said that, you know, have you been involved in stuff like anything like that in our past? And I think that, like, look, you know, this sort of cult is an amalgam of different cults, like real life cults. Like, I mean, obviously the Nexium stuff, we couldn't have predicted any of that. Like, in the fact they were branding people and everything else. And he'd written it like 8 years ago, but the closest cult that it sort of mirrors in a way is this cult called Synanon. And these guys started off as a drug rehab and they were doing some good. And a lot of cults start off doing good, but like, then becomes like, you know, cult of personality. When it ended up playing with this cult is that they decided that no one could ever really leave the cult to stay clear of drugs. And so they started making her move in with them. They bought a ranch up north, you know, at a place.
That's when I'm out.
Well, here's a funny story for you. So they started shaving their heads, right? That was another part of it, right? And so there was a little filmmaker named George Lucas who was looking for bald extras for his movie THX 1138.
What?
And guess who most of them are? They're all these from, like, Synanon. Yeah, they're all from that cult. Like, yeah, so
that's,
it's
crazy.
Like, what ended up happening with them is that the thing kind of devolved and there was like a lot of violence and murders and like all this good stuff that actually occurred. And it finally, you know, fell apart. But I mean, they were around for years and years doing, like, you know, the slapping stuff, or they'd have a game called The Game. And you'd go in a room for as many hours as you could take, and you'd have to tell truths about yourself. And you keep on telling truths. And then they start picking you apart for your truth. Being assholes to you and like wearing you, like breaking you down mentally and stuff. It was a whole, like, it was called The Game.
That doesn't sound like a game. Can I drink? Can I take a shot for every time? Like,
similar to Scientology with the
things,
the cans that you,
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
I mean, there is definitely, you know, aspects of that we hit on in this movie.
Yeah.
Like the kind of trying to know all your personal secrets, so they have it against you, and like, you know, it's like I said, it's an amalgam of a bunch of different things, but like it's things that you probably can kind of recognize and see in all the modern day.
I did.
So how did you, oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just gonna ask, how did you get involved in the project?
Well, I knew David Marmer's manager. My ex-wife went to high school with him.
Oh, wow.
And so we had one of those lunches, you sit around and talk about what you're working on, and bunch of producer douchebag lunches, I call them. And like, so I said, oh, I'm working on horror movies. He's like, I'll send you a couple. I have a couple of really good, you know, scripts right here. So he sent them to me, and I never read them. For like 6 months, I never read them because, like, you know, I was working on something else at the time, was taking all of my time up, and I'm only one person, and that fell through, and I was like, holy shit, I gotta find something. So I started reading scripts like crazy, and he had sent me this movie, Tragedy Girls, which is a terrific little film. I don't know if you've ever seen it. He sent me that, and he sent me 1BR, and so when I read Tragedy Girls, I was like, you know what, horror comedy, it's a tough nut to crack. Like, you're always getting people who are not happy because it's not horrible enough, and then people, it's too horrible and it's not funny enough, so I don't want that. He's like, well, we just finished filming that last week. And I was like,
so you're too late.
What the fuck do I know? You know? So, can we curse? I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to curse.
Oh, always.
Okay. All right. So that was it. And I read David's script. I love the script. And my producing partner, Shane Borster, and I have a company called Malevolent Films. You can see in the background, maybe.
Yeah.
And we both loved the script and we wanted to, you know, meet David right away. And so that was like in April, I want to say. And then by September we were in pre-production for it to shoot in December and stuff. Sweet. And so that was my involvement. And then I knew Naomi. Actually, Naomi read the script in the spring too, because I was like, hey, listen, we're thinking about making this, you know, look at this, is, you know, what is there, there's a part for you, whatever you want, like, you know, you figure it out, but, you know, so read it. And she liked it, so I was like, all right. So she was She was involved, and then
but not yeah. So
I was fast. Like, I was like, we're gonna get her. I was like, I want to hear her take on this.
No, yeah. he still made me work for it. So yes, I was one of the first phone calls. Like I read it in maybe May, and then and you know gave him my green light, and then it wasn't until I want to say November of that same year that I then get just an audition like from my agent, and I'm like, for what? And I went to the audition, and who's in the room as my reader but Alok,
and you're like, sir, like,
close friend. And I'm like, seriously, like I thought
this was like
you said whatever part you want, and now yeah. I'm like auditioning for it. Not only that, but the audition itself, let me tell you, here's the thing. Alok and I have a very long history. We've been friends for 25 years. And for a lot of that friendship, we play late night drunken Trivia Pursuit. And here's how Alok wins. Every time. He reads the card. You might know the answer to the question he's asking, but he will read it in such a crazy jacked up way that you have no idea what he just said. Like he talks very quickly anyway, but then he'll like, he'll make pauses in the strangest places. And you're like, what just happened? And you'll lose every time. And he did that to me during our own cold read. And I'm like, Alok, what are you doing? Like, this is not Trailer Pursuit. Like you're not, like when Why? You win, Same I
team.
Lose.
Same
like,
team.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you I mean, need to just be there you, for you, me. And of course, you, he's like, well, I'm not an actor. And I'm like, clearly. Anyway,
I
mean,
look, because I
what
did,
I didn't
like,
realize is that I had the part anyway. This was really just a chance for me to meet, you know, David Marmor, the director,
yeah.
Which was great. But I would have loved that little intel before and not like the therapy at a bar after.
Let me add this. We did take you to drinks afterwards with the crew. So obviously that's something you don't get to do usually if you're truly auditioning for something. So,
That is true. I'm still recovering from the, you know, 12 to 24 hours before where I'm like wrapping my head around this audition. So, you know, thank you for the drinks. Yeah. I needed one pregame, but.
That's,
Yeah.
What role did you want? Did you get the role of Janice? That's the one you wanted?
Actually, I do remember I read for Celeste Sully's role. The best friend.
Yeah.
And you know, listen, it's all about who, you know, it depends on who's Sarah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
the chemistry. Yeah.
Yeah. I look too old to be Sarah's like bestie at work, you know, at the temp. But had they gone with a little older Sarah, like that could have worked, you know? Yeah. But anyway, so I mean, listen, I I would have loved for Janice to have a little, probably more to do.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, they totally got me for those reshoots because I knew that they'd been light on Janice, and you know, and I think they did too. And that's, you know, that was an easy sell, you know, we squandered you, whatever. It's they literally said that. and then they still didn't do anything about it. But they just got
bit.
Me for a few more days.
You got an extra seat in there, I want to say. But look.
You know what? It's fine. It's all right. Like, I had no regrets. Alok and I have always wanted to work together. This was our,
this is your first time working together?
Yeah. It's my first movie. So that was the thing too, as a producer. So I used to test movies for a living. I did market research for film for all the different studios here in town. So this is a, you know, kind of a career change for me. And it was, you know, thankfully it turned out well, but you know, it was, I was going to say, like, look, there were so many mistakes made besides squandering Janice, but Janice is alive. As we all know.
I was going to say, she could be in the sequels.
The sequel could be about her trying
to
find
love. You could be running
love,
the next
you know?
Cult.
I mean, it's a
yeah, you could be
husband.
Our new.
Listen, yeah. I made a whole career of making something out of absolutely nothing. Like you can look around, I'm in this room covered in little, like fan art from this role that really started as a co-star. Like she was literally like one up from a extra. And then, and she, you know, became a guest star. And she became recurrent, like So this is not my first time, you know, grunting into the camera and suddenly, you know, turning to number one on IMDb. Like, this is what I do. So it's all right. I'll take your lemons and I'll turn it into lemonade.
This fan art behind you is amazing too.
It's so all great. Around me. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, at some point we'll have some Janice art, but she's going to need a sequel with some
meat.
Some meat. Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, I think Janice would do a great job running that apartment. She looks like an excellent cook.
Did you say cook?
Yeah.
You were cooking in a lot of your scenes. You and Hunt were making the food.
Did you notice, though, that was literally, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to ruin your movie right now because I clearly cannot cook. Like,
well, they were the in Video Village, like,
holy shit, Janice is going to, she's going to cut off her fingers for one. And we can't afford that.
Well, I'm a horrible like, knife person. She literally looks too, like
she's so. Never cut carrots in her well, life.
David
like, that's Marmer how I cut to, carrots, so it's well, fine.
David Marmer came up to her at one point. It was like, do you cook much, Naomi? And she's like, oh no, not at all. She's like, yeah, I can tell.
guys could have sent her to Worst Chef Celebrity Edition.
That's
let her get some training. Yeah. There you go.
It was a micro budget film, so there was not that luxury.
Get her a HelloFresh pack so she can at least practice.
I mean, maybe in
16 free meals.
Maybe for the sequel, that will.
I needed a hand double, like someone who actually knows how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Sorry.
You looked like a very good mom. You seemed very even keeled until the very end. Yeah. Like you seemed like because you could see like Lester was, I mean, he was great. He was my favorite of the residents.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like the big creepiest thing for me was the opening scene when we're helping people with their laundry. Why? That's a little above and beyond for me. I don't need you seeing my delicates. Like, I'm good on that. Thank you.
Well, that all the extras in the movie, many of the extras were friends and relatives. So the guy carrying the laundry is my buddy, Greg Markman. And the guy helping him with the laundry is my producing partner and the other main producer on this film, Shane Vorister.
Wow.
So we're actually in the film quite a bit if you watch it you know, it was a thing where people which our friends wouldn't show up and they'd be like, get in there, you got it, you're gonna be, and so we're like always like Shane and I are always moving furniture in the background in some way. We're credited as movers number one and number two, but we're always doing some like dumb shit in the background. And the I don't know who it was, the line producer, whoever would get mad because we'd wear like, you know, t-shirts with like a logo on it or something. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, why did you wear a t-shirt with a logo on it? You know you're gonna be an extra. And I'm like, no, I don't know I'm gonna be an extra.
Know that.
I wanna sit at fucking Video Village and be a real producer and watch the shit, see just get fucked up. You know, and so they were just like, I'm putting this in. So if you watch it, there's a kind of a Where's Waldo aspect of watching this.
Giving me a lot of rewatch value game. Here.
Literally
like pour yourself a very weak drink and drink every time you see a Loke
in the background
moving something in the background Loke
Shane or any of the other producers like Allard Cantor is like his David Marmer's manager who's also a producer of the film. He's like always lurking in the background. We called him like his title was Lurker number one. I want to say it was, you know.
That's
so
awesome.
Like there's David Marmer's parents are in it. Like the very beginning when his wife is in it too, right? So at the very beginning when those people are waving and then you see that pregnant lady, that's his wife. And when we did the reshoots, she had to come back and she already had the baby.
She had the baby, yeah.
We had to put a fake belly on her. Like, it's like the, and then his parents are in it too, actually. There's two older people you see like here and there. Yeah.
My mom is the only friend of the family or family that didn't actually get in. And that's because when she was visiting, they were like, she looks too much like, what's her name?
Miss Stanhope.
Oh no.
And they're like, it doesn't make sense to off this one old lady and let this other old lady live. Like,
oh, yeah.
I thought Miss Stanhope was fantastic.
I liked her.
She I'll tell you this. So she and Nicole Brighton Bloom, who played Sarah, and then Giles Maddie, who played Brian. We were supposed to start shooting on a Thursday. We had completely different people cast, right? And it's Monday, and we have a famous TV actress. I can't say who because it's libel or some shit. I've been told not to talk about it. And she made us hire her friend, or I don't know if it was her boyfriend, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And that cat's on some like fucking CW vampire show that I never fucking watched. But I figured if it's good enough for CW, it's good enough for us.
We love the CW here.
And hiring those two people. Hiring those two people were like almost already put us in the black. And we were like, and
were they both from the vampire show?
I can't comment as to where they're from.
We're not trying to make this his only movie.
The lady wasn't, but she's in something I think kind of maybe bigger. But I don't know. Long short though is that I'm in a Gelson's in Marina Del Rey trying to get a feminine energy drink because this girl requires it. And we had talked to the company that makes this drink, and they were sending us like a shitload for free, but it was going to get there like 3 days in or 2 days in production. So I was afraid that she'd bereft of her feminine energy drink. So I, as many small productions do, they sent, I didn't have a lackey to go do this. Me and another producer were out finding the stupid energy drink. Yeah. And while we were finding that energy drink, we got a call from her agent saying she's out. No reason.
Oh, of course.
She's just out. Wow. And now the boy or the friend is out too, right? And then so we go to a bar to like have a beer to kind of figure out what the fuck we're gonna do. Because I mean, I may have allegedly already mortgaged an already paid off house to get the money for this movie, right? So we're just like, we are fucked. Yeah. So while we're in that bar having a cocktail. We get a call from the lady who's supposed to play Miss Stanhope. Her husband has collapsed. He's been rushed to the hospital, and he's dead. And so we're like, she's out too, right? So we're like, holy shit, what do we do? And so we basically backed up everything a week to the following Monday. This is the Monday. We backed up to the Monday, and we're just trying to like call everyone we know. And so now we Nicole Brighton Bloom was always our first choice, but we went with the other girl because, money grubbing producers and we would be in the black. Yeah. And so when she dropped out, we called Nicole immediately and she's out of New York, actually. She was able to, get on a plane and get out here by Friday. She got 3 hours to rehearse with David Marmer. That's it.
Wow.
For the whole thing. And then Friday we're sitting there and like, I'm begging friends to send me older actress, reels and stuff. And I get Susan Davis's. And there's a number at the end, but I call the number thinking it's going to be her agent or manager. It's her.
It's her.
I'm like, all right, this is highly inappropriate, but I'm gonna sell you. I'm gonna pitch you the movie, and I'm gonna pitch you us. So we did that, and she's like, well, she's been in like Darren Bozeman movies and stuff, so she knows horror. She's an old pro. So she was just like, I've never done a cult movie before. Hi.
Is that exactly how she sounded?
Yes. She's like abroad. Seen it all. She's like, let me tell you something, kiddos. That kind of thing. So she that's at 9:30 in the morning on Friday, and by 11:30 we signed her. And the last thing we're waiting for is to get the Giles Maddie to get the Brian character. And we're like calling all these people. It's like 7 o'clock on a Friday now. We're like in Barney's Beanery and we're like pulling out our hair. And we're like trying to call our friends to like keep the agencies open because no one gets a shit about our little movie. And finally we get a call like a 7:15 from Giles Maddie's agent. He's like, he's in. And I'm like, well, how come it took him so long? Well, he was driving down from like San Francisco or something. And he pulled over to the side of the road just to read his part on his phone.
Oh, wow.
And so like, and I was shocked that he didn't read the whole thing. I was offended. But Naomi tells me that this is obviously very, very standard practice a lot of times for,
actors, you got to stop what you're doing and get it done, right?
You just read your
part. The only reason why I read the entire movie is because there was so little Janice that I was like, I have no sense of this. No, I'm kidding.
Well, happily, he said yes. And so we were just like, holy shit, I think we're making a movie on Monday. Like, so we were just like, if everyone shows up. So, but I mean, look, those aren't the other only disasters that befell the production. I can tell you that.
And you sent me that article.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time, but the Movie Maker Magazine let us write and let me write an article about like all the shit that went wrong. So if you just Google Movie Maker Magazine and 1BR, it'll come up, I'm sure. It's a really entertaining sort of article because we had like
we'll post the link on our Facebook page.
And we had a truck that was stolen and involved in a televised high speed chase.
Oh,
we had,
wow, like, that's
fires
crazy.
That almost burned down our office because like, there was this huge thing going on. And yeah, but I mean, despite all that, you know, we were able to come up with something that people responded to, and you know, we definitely had like a strategy for it. And our strategy kind of went to hell because we came out April of 2020 and we're sitting there like in February and we're hearing about this COVID thing.
Yeah.
And we're like, ah, it'll all blow over. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And by middle of March, we're like, we are fucked.
Yeah.
Like we are not coming out in theaters. Everything we have, like, we've done this big festival run to kind of get awareness up for it. And like, we thought we'd like, you know, we've done that. We were going to like have a big opening and like, we had to switch everything to like, okay, we're not coming out in theaters. We are just coming out on VOD.
Wow.
What can we do? And we just started like, you know, doing podcasts and interviews.
Yeah.
I mean, our publicist was helping us to do some of it, but we just started doing it ourselves. We just, you know, we're like, we're not asking permission. We're just going to go after people. And so we did that. And then it opened up on iTunes. Like we were like number three on iTunes in the horror section, which was just like, what?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it worked out and we were there for like a week in the top five. And then then Netflix, who had rejected us twice, mind you, this, like we came and showed them our numbers. We're like, hey, it did pretty well. And they're like, all right, we'll take you.
Oh.
We're gonna pay you very little money. We'll take you. And we're like, okay, you know, we'll take it. So we did. And but we knew in May that we would be on in August, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so we made it kind of a missive. And also, we had nothing to do. It's COVID. We're like home all the time.
Yeah.
And so like poor Naomi was like, you know, she's living there over there in West Hollywood by herself and can't even use her pool or anything.
COVID.
So we would go on these podcasts together. We would just do podcasts because, you know, the movie was doing well. People wanted to talk about it. It opened up in England and it did very well there. And so we
human interaction.
Yeah, so it ended up opening up in August on Netflix, and it debuted at like number five, and then it just kept on going up like the
That's
whole
awesome.
week, and it finally went to number one, which was just fucking nuts because we're like, we just beat Jamie Foxx's Project Power movie. Like, this is an $80 million movie,
and our,
like, SAG ultra-low budget film has beat his film.
That's
and not
amazing.
Only that, we were, like, in the top five for 8 days and stuff, and, like, I mean, Forbes did an article. They were like, who is this no-name movie that this is Jamie Foxx's Project Power? Like, if we had not beat him, he would have been the longest running movie at number one for that year.
Oh, we got a bone to pick with you.
We wrote him on Twitter, and we were like, Sorry to take you out, dog. The game recognized the game. You know. he didn't respond back.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Shocking.
But I mean, look, it's had a great run. It's been number one like on iTunes and like I think it's like 10 different countries all over the world and stuff. Australia, New Zealand, Bahrain, like you know, it's been doing really well on VOD, and now it's sort of in that window where it's been on Netflix for a year and a half, and now again going to be on Shudder. We're very excited about that, actually.
Yeah.
So Jen and I in the Shudder Horror Group, we host watch parties. So Jen and I are going to host a watch party for this show, and if you or Naomi or anybody wants to come on and do a Q&A with the group, we'd love to have you.
We'll do it around your schedule.
Really well.
We'll watch it all.
We've done it with a couple other directors and stuff, and it's gone really great. And the group they come up with great questions, I have to say.
Yeah.
They really
sure.
do.
I mean,
and we have a lot of big AHS fans in there too. So they would love to talk to you, Naomi. Like, love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, I think if we have enough notice, I mean, look, if we if we can arrange something for maybe the opening weekend for it, that would be super cool.
We'll be into, we'll
send you
that
email.
Out. We'll figure out a schedule.
Well,
for that.
I think I might be able to get a lot more of the actors, but we'll talk about that like offline.
Okay.
Taylor Nichols, who plays Jerry, her husband, is an old friend. He actually lives down the street from Naomi, conveniently enough.
He is. Nice.
Ooh, primo cult leader. I was like, he did this guy job. A cult leader? Because I was
he's such an interesting actor.
Another like, Jerry.
You see him in all these things. He pops up like he's like a working actor. He was just on Walking Dead. Like I was watching like from last season. I mean, he has like a two episode thing there. And like, you know, he pops up like everywhere. He's such an interesting actor. But everyone who was there was just, I mean, such a pleasure to work with. And, you know, we can't wait to work with them. You know, I mean, I can't say anything about sequels, but I can say that, you know, there could be some nice surprises. And we are, you know, currently trying to, we have a treatment for the sequel. And it's I can't say anything about it. And I wish I could, but we like the J.J. Abrams the shit out of stuff. We don't tell you anything. And then
secrets make it better.
Well, we already know that Janice was squandered.
Wait.
And we, you know, she's still alive and we want to see more of her. Well, so as I was saying, we kind of blazed through my favorite story, and that is how one of our production vehicles was actually stolen. Yeah. And by not just anyone, but by literally the most handsome felon you have ever laid eyes on. Like,
you left that part out, Alok. You didn't say
you
that.
You did. You didn't mention his attractiveness. Yeah. Come on, you're single. Come on.
Room full of ladies. We want to hear about the handsome felon.
Yeah.
So sure enough, there was this like truck stealing ring that actually had our man like down the 405. Like, you can imagine, like, you know, remember when you watched like OJ in his white Bronco? Imagine our production van blazing down the freeway. Yeah. And it got off on like, I can't remember, it was like near the like Felix sign, these like very iconic spots within Los Angeles. And anyway, they finally like one of our PAs actually was following, because he was literally like hired to just like watch
that
van,
and he's like, this is my job.
Well, I mean, look, there's like it's a truck. There's three production trucks. This guy's sitting in the middle one. Like this Escalade pulls up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Three guys get out, break into this truck, and like 7 minutes later, it's driving away. This PA, this heroic PA, gets into his own car. Gives chase, but not too close, on the phone with the police. And the police are like, sir, you need to stand down. He's like, I will not stand down until you are behind this truck. And so they're like near USC and near the Felix sign. And all of a sudden, like the spotlight from the helicopter comes on the truck, and like three cop cars rush in. And then this guy tries to gun it, like fucks up the engine, like the pay deductible for this bullshit. And then like they just this like chase all over like South Central. And then they corner him at this McDonald's / Chevron station, and they pull him out, and this guy is very good looking, and they don't rough him up. Like, they're like, you always hear stories about the police roughing up people.
No, nope, not where you're good looking.
They weren't roughing up that Fatia. Like, that was not happening. So ironically, we showed the footage. There's footage of this, and it's actually on the Blu-ray, because we showed it that we premiered at Fantasia. And the funny thing is, like, we didn't even tell anybody this happened. Like, we had like quietly put this in. We want people concentrating on the movie. We started an hour late because we had to get another truck to come in and unload this stuff into that truck, and then, you know, whatever. And so we didn't tell anybody anything. And we didn't even tell David till like at the first rap party, you know, because we had two rap parties, because we had two sets of shooting. But we didn't tell them until then. And then we didn't tell like the stars until like, you know, I don't think Naomi knew about it until the actual, we were sitting there at the premiere at Fantasia. And, you know, they were like, oh, cue the footage of the arrest. So, and everyone's like, who is that?
Well, so what I was going back to is, part of the agreement is that, I mean, this guy's got to pay, right? Or something.
I mean, he's supposed to pay his restitution, but I haven't seen a goddamn nickel.
He can very easily work it off. Like, it sounds like the guy needs the money if he's stealing production vehicles. So
do you have scenes that Jen could make out with him in? That's what I'm seeing here.
That's what I'm saying. Janice is single now. She's ready to mingle. She needs to get back out there.
I mean, she's
who
ready
better
to,
with than this handsome felon.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, she's ready to explore her body.
I mean, like, if anybody
she's ready for an awakening, a sexual awakening.
Yes.
Like he probably is in the business, but even if he's not, like, I'm willing to rehearse.
Right. Hours. Put in the hours.
Of course.
Hours. That's right. However long it takes.
Anything for trailer. My craft.
That's true.
Just don't squander this part. Okay.
Don't squander
the handsome felon.
One BR. Or,
yeah.
The Chronicles of Janice. I can see it now.
Yes.
I'm ready for it.
Wouldn't it be interesting if Janice was the one that brought Jerry into it and she was the one, like, the actual head of the whole thing? Because remember, somebody brought Jerry into it.
Well, right. I mean, you know.
Oh, you mean a prequel?
So yeah.
We see them start. Oh, Taylor would be fine with that. He's he gets very quiet when we start talking about sequels because he knows he's dead.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know, you can't kill a good horror movie. So there's always a way.
Yeah. I would love a prequel to this because I would just love to see, like, especially how they convinced Edie. I mean, that. How long did they make poor Edie stand on the wall? These are questions I have.
Like, she's a tough old bird. Well, like, good Lord.
You know, it's funny. There's so many reviews of this movie. Like, I was trying to check if anybody had talked about it in regards to Shudder this morning. And I found this other review where this girl is, like, kind of doing the... I don't think this is legal, by the way, because she has the movie on and she keeps on taking snippets of it and putting it in and whatever. And I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to get in trouble. But it was funny because she starts going on the wall herself to see if she can do that. And she's doing it like kind of in real time. And by certain point, she's like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, totally like trying to make it happen for real. I was like, all right. So I mean, there's a whole universe that's sort of here with this movie. And I think that even in addition to a sequel, there could be, you know, a couple of them. And we're working that out right now. So we shall see what happens with
awesome.
It. We're excited. We're excited to, you know, kind of give people more of this universe, really. And that's and what's interesting about it is we went all over the world with this. So like almost every festival over the world, we were in L'Etrange in Paris, or like Monsterfest in Melbourne, or Grimfest in Manchester. I mean, we went literally
around
all over the world with it, and the reception to it it was great. I think they like it more even in France than I was expecting. That was sort of an interesting thing.
The one consistent criticism people have is nobody understands the title. These real estate abbreviations are unique to the United States.
Oh, you're saying, international.
So, for example, I speak Spanish and Alok will send me half of the podcasts or reviews in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what are they saying? What is it? I'm not getting this. And literally half of the reviews are just them trying to figure out, ¿qué es? Yes, and I'm like, they're literally
rolled R for me.
I mean, it's that or a Cardi B song, but I think that it's I mean, look, it's called different things. We switched the names where we had to, in England and Australia, it's Apartment 1BR. In Germany, it's Welcome into the Nightmare. And then Korea, South Korea, it's Apartment 209. Which I realized that's actually the numbers on the apartment. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess. And then in Japan, what is it called, Naomi?
Madhouse.
Oh.
Yes. It's called Madhouse.
I like that.
I did the gesture. Yeah.
I know, it's
just
so racist.
If you guys didn't see.
Nice racist cherry on top.
I'm glad that this is just audio.
Yeah.
I won't be canceled, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I said that we're screen grabbing that and putting it on our YouTube
channel. You're an actress, that's fine.
But look, my point is this: the reception's been good to it all over the world. I think people want to see this. We know on Netflix, not only was it number one, but we've seen some data to prove that a lot of people watched the movie, not just being ranked number one or in the top 5 or 8 days. It's funny the reception that we see on social media and stuff. Our social media is kind of a fun thing. I'm not saying that I run it, allegedly, but people come on there. And they say something nice, and we're always like, oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you so much. And hey, you want to come to a dinner party? Like, you know, it would like be so that. Much That's easier fun. For Sarah if she came to the dinner party. And we have a you know, a branch just down the street from this. Don't worry.
That's all. Like, I like that. That's really fun.
We try to treat it like it's a real cult.
That's super cool.
Yeah. So yeah, come see us on our social media and stuff, and stay tuned. And there'll be a lot of announcements hopefully in the very near future. And I just want, listen, here's the main thing you can do to help us. Watch the movie on Shudder. Please watch the movie on Shudder. Yes. And if you like it, tell your friends. Word of mouth is like one of the strongest things can help a small film like ours. And that's the thing. We've actually, thankfully, fingers crossed, had very strong positive reaction to the film. I mean, it's 88% on Rotten Tomatoes certified.
That's amazing.
Fresh.
Yeah. So
that's crazy in its own right. And the word of mouth has been pretty good on it. The one thing people hate about it is that we kill the cat. That's the only thing.
I was worried about that when I saw. Hopefully it's gonna be okay.
It's not a dog.
I don't care.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It's like 2 seconds, and like you blink, you'd miss it almost. Yeah. So it's nothing. I mean, you can literally turn your head if you don't want to.
Not for nothing. For a group of people so worried about the allergies and the smell, burning that ain't solving that problem. Singeing it all through the fucking pipes.
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta like leave a lasting impression, right?
Definitely
psychically damaging blow, right? So that's to break somebody down.
But the irony is, David is such a compassionate, lovely man that and a cat lover.
If he was here, he would literally have his cats like.
He would literally have cats crawling over his computer. Aww.
Aww.
But so when he was writing the story, he was like, "What could be the absolute worst thing that you could do to another?" And that is put their cat in an oven.
Yes,
right.
I'll tell you,
it's just a movie, folks.
Yeah,
That cat was an amazing actor. Right?
And it was named Giles.
Yeah, yeah. So what we would do as a joke is we'd pull Giles Maddie and play Brian over.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, take a look at that cat. That fucking cat's one take Giles. What the fuck happened to you?
He gets his stuff in one take.
I make that joke all the time. But here's the thing, Giles Maddie's an amazing actor.
His Turner, his 180 from like, because he looks like the nice passive guy, like the guy who's got a crush. And as soon as you know that he's the cult guy, he flips, and his whole demeanor and look changes for the rest of the film.
I mean, him and Nicole can cry like 8 different ways. Like, I mean, we would sit there with Nicole and we're like, "Did you do it in one take?" And we're like, "I think we can do it again, maybe." And she's like, "Oh, let me do it this way." And she'd do it, and she'd like, she make the teardrop just perfectly.
Wow.
And we're like, God damn, that's impressive. Like, you know, that's
she made me believe those nails were going through her hands.
Oh yeah.
I believed it.
That's her little I'd have been like, shoot me. They would have had to shoot me because I'm not putting nails through my hands. No.
Jen has decided that they would have terminated my lease for the cat and let me go long before that. I am not cut out for cult life. Nicole wouldn't want me.
Yeah.
So well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where things go.
I was going to say, so what's the next step for like you? Because you've already made the film; it's already been out for a while. So what would be the next?
Well, you know,
what would you be looking for next?
Obviously, you know, we're doing a sequel, but we may do a movie in between that movie, depending. So we're casting out a movie right now, and I can't talk about it. Like a JP.
Am I going to get a call?
Yeah. I mean, you already read the script, sister, and you know a part.
I'd also like to say that Jen does some extra work, and the bitch can die like nobody's business. So,
we've had so many people who are like, I don't think the next movie is going to be. I mean, it'll be a bigger budget, but I don't know if we could like pay to fly everybody out. But I'm like, you know, if you want to come down and be an extra, if you want to be in like the cult, I mean,
hey, I already live in LA. I'm here, so.
Okay. Well, I mean, the thing is, he may film it someplace else next time.
Oh, of course.
Kind of tax break or whatever.
Well, that's
awesome. Tax break. I hear Texas. I'm in.
Yeah, she lives in Texas.
It could be, you know, one of those places like Atlanta or, you know, whoever has the best tax break at the time.
I hear you.
You know, we've got to save some money this time around. We didn't get any money back for the first one and stuff. And, you know, so look. We're just anxious for people to watch it on Shudder and hopefully tell their friends. Like, there's like a million subscribers on Shudder, and they're the hardcore horror fans. Like, our dream, like, I mean, if we had been like a Shudder original and they bought us for a lot bigger period of time, or I think they had to buy you outright or something, or have you in your library to go on Joe Bob. Mm-hmm. I want to say, I think that's how it works. But I mean, holy shit! If we were ever on Joe Bob, I would just die.
Our group loves Joe Bob. We watch every week.
I tell you, I'm such a huge fan of his, and like his one monologue, that's the keep rolling one that was in the One Cut of the Dead. Like, it makes me cry. Like, when he talks about, like, you don't have to live in Hollywood, you can do this yourself. Go and get hire local actors who are in the theater company and do this and do that. Blah blah blah. It just breaks me that monologue. And he's just so smart, and I fucking love him. He's just like he's funny. You can tell, like, Darcy's getting on his nerves.
Yeah, but they banter together very well. I like their.
I mean, she's great too. Like, it's a great fucking show. Like, I mean, I watch. I don't. I have a kid, unfortunately. Oh yeah, I don't get to watch them necessarily on Friday Night Live sometimes. But, like, you know, I do get to watch them like on Sunday whenever it comes out again and stuff. But I watch all of them. It would just be such a dream to be on that show. That would be like my complete dream. The other thing that happened with this film, the other show that I really love, podcast that I love, is the last podcast on the left.
Yeah,
and we got to be on that thing on a Patreon episode and stuff.
Sweet!
I listen to that thing all the time. That was like a bucket list thing and stuff. And those guys are funny, and they're, you know, it was great. I mean, everybody we've met in the podcast world has been so sweet, like so supportive, and like, you know, and yourselves included. I mean, like, I'm so happy that. One of your other admins told me. I asked a question. I was just like, I mean, who were the big Shudder podcasts and stuff like that? And they were like, these young ladies are. And I'm like, oh, let's get it. Let's do it. You
know? Love it. We're getting there. We're trying to get there. So
I'm enjoying that that Facebook group quite a lot. Every day I'm like, you know, reading things. I'm like, I'm commenting on things. And it's a cool group.
I was telling for your next movie, be active commenting and all that, and then we'll be able to put your stuff up.
Yeah, for sure. I'd comment if I didn't have a movie.
Yeah,
it's just like there's some fun little, like, you know,
you?
Questions
you left.
Yeah, you don't know, right? Naomi, like, you should join us over there too.
Are you?
I won't even make you answer the questions. We will approve you
immediately.
Questions unanswered.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sure. Are you actually a horror fan, Naomi? Do you actually like horror movies?
So I'm yes, but I am not. I would say I love anyone that loves me.
Oh, that's. Heard.
So, you know, horror fans are extremely loyal and have been very good to me.
Yeah.
And I love them in return. I can't say I started as a horror fan. I think I've always just loved good storytelling.
Yeah.
And so there's, a lot of horror movies I absolutely hate.
Yeah.
And then there's horror movies I absolutely love, and it has nothing to do with them necessarily just being horror. Like, that is not
it's a the good story.
Yeah, that's not what gets me. It's the, if it's, there's great acting or, you know, a good story. Yeah. So I'm less about the genre.
Yeah.
More just about the quality itself.
Yeah, that's cool.
So,
I like that.
So folks, I got a jet. I'm so sorry. I have a lunch.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was great having you.
All right. Yes,
thank you so much for your time.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Bye. Right,
bye.
The life of a producer. Naomi, thank you so much for being on our show.
Yes.
We would love to have you back to talk more about your other roles and stuff. Hoping to see way more of you in the sequel, because I think that your character has layers that could really be expanded upon in a sequel. Yeah.
I think she's stronger. She's stronger than what was shown in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 Where can people find you? Like,
oh, I'm on, you know, all the socials, Naomi W. Grossman. I'm verified, so it's easy.
It's got the blue check. That's her.
Yep.
All right. Awesome.
Yes. And you'll be getting friend requests from us now that we've we're spoken friends. In public.
Okay. All right. I will look for them. Yes.
Thank you. And it was so great. Thank you again. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was a lot of fun.
I liked it. And we are hosting a live group watch in our Shudder Horror Fans group on Facebook, which will be awesome.
We'll make sure to post all the information to that. If you don't know where to find us,
Instagram,
you know where
we're email,
Facebook,
all that.
Good.
Yes.
And that is all. Till next time. Bye.
Later.